And a very good morning to you. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790 is our call number. You can send a message to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Now, that is a message only line, 266-4862. We can't take video calls or audio calls while we're on air because of the device we use, the audio has been disconnected so as not to intrude on our on-air presentations. John Stout, our technical operator, producer, as usual, when I'm sitting in this chair, I'm Dennis Johnson, your host, we go until 2 o'clock. The fight to contain the spread of coronavirus and to deal with those who have been affected by it continues to bring grief to families and friends across Barbados. Our station manager, David Ellis, lost his brother to the fight, and he is being laid to rest today. And I join my colleagues in extending condolences to David and the extended family on this sad passing. I've been told of others who've suffered the loss of their friends and loved ones to things other than the COVID pandemic. For example, one of our regular, I would say, Brass Tacks contributors, a voice that some may be familiar with, Mark Wilson, Mark the Barber. I was told that he passed a couple of days ago. There are things that I recall about Mark the Barber. He used to talk about dance as opposed to fet. He was very big on dance as opposed to fet. He used to follow the Q100 in the community. He used to talk about that. He also said that our port should not look dark and closed when ships come to Barbados. There should be signs of people having a good time. And I supported him in that call. What I did not know, that I found out when I was told about his passing, was that he was an avid cricketer and footballer as well. So to his friends and relatives and those who perhaps he may have helped with their grooming, because I know, well, one person who passed away as well, my friend Laurent Gibbs, said that Mark used to take care of his hair for him from time to time. So to his friends and relatives and those who helped care for him, condolences on his passing. We seem to be losing members of our Brass Tacks family with regularity, and perhaps with the pending retirement of our station manager and the imminent retirement of another of the Brass Tacks family, perhaps it would be a good time to start looking at younger and new talent and bringing in younger and new listeners to the program. Who knows? The issue, though, of the coronavirus has brought to light signs and sides of Barbadian life that perhaps we've either kept hidden or ignored. There was a caller to Brass Tacks who talked about the care packages and said that when the truck came around, they went out and they were told to go back inside. I think he said they were given two packages, but he said there were 12 rooms being rented to individuals at the particular house. Now, that's a phenomenon that is a recent one, as far as I'm aware, in Barbados. There was also a sad case of a fire where 17 persons lost their homes and possessions, and the 17 people were part of 7 independent households, if you want, contained in one extended unit. That, too, is not something you would see if you passed and looked outside. And we tend to make judgments based on what a house looks like from outside. Heard that yesterday while producing the program for Dr. Hines. I recall some time ago a friend of mine asked me to deliver a package to a home. nice, well-kept home, two cars in the garage. And when I went to the house, there were two elderly people living there. They had no children. She was recovering from surgery, and he has had a stroke. So here were two elderly people living by themselves, trying to care for each other, both suffering at the time from various ailments. But if you passed and looked at the house from outside and the two cars parked in the garage, you would say, you know, two people living happily and, you know, enjoying themselves. You perhaps think they were young. I have learned that one has since passed as well, of that couple. So there is one elderly person, I won't say which, whether it's one who had the surgery or the one who had the stroke, but one of them has passed. So it is, I'm saying this to say we should not make judgments based on what we see on the outside. There was an ad that we used to run for the AIDS campaign that said, "You can't tell by looking." Perhaps we should remember that. This is Dr. Brastax. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling about the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I have an experience where went to the polyclinic, and we were called by telephone. I had used the WhatsApp to get the appointment, and a young lady called and said my husband would be getting the vaccine, which was yesterday. We got to the polyclinic, and the guard that was there, he said his name was not on the paper for the vaccine. And there were a lot of other persons there who did not have their name on the paper, but they also got a call. But he said then to go into the line, or even though that it wasn't on the paper for the appointment. We did that, and that was for a while we stood up there. And then he pulled other persons who would have gotten their names on paper and put them in front of the line that only got a call for the appointment, which then caused a number of commotion, a lot of problems, and people thought that he was putting others in front of them because they were there a long time before. I was calling to see if they could get it clear so that persons will not think that when they get a call that they don't have an appointment, and then persons that are on paper, they believe they're the only ones with appointments. It began to get so low that there was a police who was on. He was not at work, but he came and he showed his badge, and he stopped the confusion, helped the guard out with all of the confusion. What I call about is if they could get it started out so that there won't be a difference between who will call by phone and whose name is put on the paper, so that the guard will not separate the two, and people will feel that they don't know where they're supposed to be.
Ma'am, the management of appointment systems, and even in cases like individuals in doctors' offices, have to be carefully managed. I do not believe, and this is me personally, I do not believe it is something one should leave to a security guard. It is something that should be done by someone who is experienced in dealing with people, especially people who are anxious, people who may be ill, and people who may be facing the strain of standing in long lines and waiting. There are times that you would, for example, go for a dental appointment or a doctor's appointment and see people sitting there waiting. And somebody would come in and they would go straight into the office. Now, those of us sitting there waiting may not know why. Maybe the person had an early appointment, left to go and get something to come back. We don't know. But it would look odd if we were sitting there waiting from, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 9:30 somebody just walks in and goes right in. Now, we may not. And that's what happened, right, basically?
And what was happening that he had a line for the people that they
had appointment
on the paper.
Right. And one for those who are just waiting.
And then he had a line then for 70 and over.
Right.
And then a line then for
correct
for persons whose names were on the list.
Correct.
But the thing about it is that the persons that received a call, mm-hmm, they said they had a verbal appointment, meaning
right
that they were told to come to the polyclinic between the hours of 10 and 12.
Correct. And you see, that's when you're trying to manage more than one system at the same time. As I said at the start, I don't believe that that is something you should leave to a guard. And I have heard the same complaint about guards at the QEH telling people, you know, in different ways that did not go down well with the people. Ma'am, we have a team of people who are being asked to do jobs that perhaps they're operating under strain or they're not accustomed to doing. We have a population that's anxious, a population that's worried, and some with health issues. These things have to be managed in a delicate way, and unfortunately, there are issues with the manner in which these things are being handled. And despite all the communication, despite all the notices in the press and on radio, there's some gaps in the information, some gaps in the process that has to be carefully managed and followed without causing anxiety and distress to people who are already anxious and distressed.
I
don't know how soon it's going to be done, but this vaccination campaign is going to run for a while, and I would like to believe that as we go, we fix the problems as they occur so that they don't keep coming back, because we are aggravating more people than we are assisting, is what I don't want to happen.
The thing that I'm afraid about is that
it would get out of control.
There were older persons in the line, and they were really upset.
So you
could imagine if you had a younger set of people, and the guard was the only one who was restraining
trying to
them,
control it,
and they go to rush the clinic. It is a real dangerous thing. So I just wanted to mention that.
I'm happy that you did, and I hope that it's taken to heart in the way which it was presented and fixed. Let me point out something else that has come to the fore in this process, and it's this. Yesterday, there was a message on WhatsApp from a young lady who said that she had a baby that needed to be vaccinated, and she wanted to know where she would go because she had been to the Glebe Polyclinic on at least two or three occasions and was told that it's being used for COVID vaccinations only. And her question was, is it no longer important to vaccinate children? Now, I remember reading the notice that the Glebe, the Edgar Cochrane, and there was a third polyclinic that was going to be closed for vaccinations. Then I saw a notice saying all the polyclinics were being used for COVID vaccinations. Now, if you have a situation where you sent out a notice saying these polyclinics will be used for the COVID vaccinations, you needed to have a follow-up notice that said persons who have these appointments over this period or persons who want to have their children vaccinated or to do XYZ, this is what you should do. That notice I have not seen. I don't know if it exists because I don't work at this station 24/7 and I don't listen to the radio 24/7. So I don't know if it was done. But the GIS and the various agencies have a really hard task right now to make those notices available and to follow up to ensure that persons who have legitimate concerns and questions can have them answered. Because here's what's happening. The radio stations, and I can speak for this one, sitting in the producer's chair or even here, we've been bombarded with messages via WhatsApp. I see John shaking his head. So while John is trying to bring up commercials, manage what I'm saying on air, listen to you, listen to playback, there's somebody telling him, as they have told me, I want to ask this question. And you're trying to tell them, I can't listen to you because I'm listening to what's going on here. Yeah, but I just want to ask, what do I do if? And they have concerns. Or they would tell me, you played a notice yesterday saying that this is the process for getting your pension checks. What is it? And I can't answer because I was not the person playing it yesterday, or I was not the person doing cashier's shift. I don't know what commercial it is. John doesn't know what it is. We have to hunt to try to find out which government information service release you're talking about. The one that says TELWE, the one that says public notice, the one that says health update, which one is the one you're talking about? And he's trying to do this while managing the program. So it is essential that when we communicate with the public about one issue, we follow up what the others may want to know. Where do people who have regular appointments with polyclinics, what do they do? To ladies, families who may have newborns, who want to get them inoculated, what is the process? Where do they go? How do they get it done? This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a question and just a couple of things to say. The first thing is, I don't often get to listen to Down to Brass Tacks, so this may have been discussed already. What I wanted to find out is, what is the genetic material in the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine? Now, I heard that it's...
Ma'am, let me say to you that I have no idea. Let me also say to you that that is a question that should be directed to the doctors and those concerned. I do not think Brass Tacks is capable of making that type of response. That's the short answer to your query, and I thank you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. I had to change my script for today's contribution due to the fact that after attending a funeral last Thursday, February the 18th, 2021, at the beautiful Church of St. Matthew, I was taken by surprise to see in the inner church the installation of security cameras. It's my belief that this has come about due to the profanation of a sacred building. Since the disendowment of the church over 50 years ago, the church is reaching out more and more for the sick and shut-ins and all other community without the aid of a parliamentary representative. So, as to help all those in need, let's reflect on the mission statement of the Church of St. Barnabas. Quote, a community of ordinary people committed to loving and serving God and our neighbors and being disciples of Jesus Christ to proclaim his good news. End of quote. I love reading Canon Arrington Messiah's Outside of the Pulpit. And without doubt, he won't fail to comment on the pending selection on Chris Gayle. However, I prefer the West Indies to win without Gayle than to lose with him. I prefer this good preacher and communist writer, the Reverend Canon Messiah, to give us an update on sacrilege. Thank you very much for your prayer.
Okay, sir. The WhatsApp message said, I visited the Edgar Cochrane Clinic and have to say that they have the system well organized. So much so that the doctor there came and reassured everyone what was happening, and she also answered questions that were being asked. So that's the positive side of what was happening at one polyclinic. And then there's the other statement, the one that we see perhaps more often, that says, I registered my father-in-law about 3 weeks ago, and not a word yet. I registered myself and my wife too, and not a word as yet. All the time, people who weren't registered turned up and got the vaccine. I know because about five people got the vaccine by just turning up. That's five people I know. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
I just trying to find out how care practices have I have a situation where I have a family member that rents a one-bedroom unit in an apartment. And they were told when the care package bank came around that they're not going to get any care package because they're not supposed to give people who do.
Ma'am, you're breaking up. Ma'am, you're breaking up badly. I'm not sure what you're using, but I'm not hearing you clearly. And if I'm not hearing you clearly, I really can't respond.
Oh, I'm using my cell phone.
Okay, then try talking a little softer, because there's a voice suppressor on the unit that the louder you talk, the closer you are to the microphone, it breaks up your voice. Go ahead.
What I was saying is, I had a situation where I have a family member.
Good.
Who rents a one-bedroom unit in an apartment unit, yes?
Good.
The people distributing the care packages came around,
mm-hmm.
and they went at the end of the street to collect a care package and told that they're not given to people who live in big houses. Now, they only rent a one-bedroom unit. I want to know if that is the case, that they're not giving people who are renting units in big houses.
That's why I started off this morning by talking about the gentleman who talked about the 12 rooms being rented out of a house. I believe to have 12 rooms rented out of a house, it would have to be a fairly large house. If every one of the rooms had a bathroom attached to it, that's a fairly large complex. And therefore, it is difficult to look from the outside and determine what's happening inside. That's precisely why I started on that note. I do not know that there's any law rule that says who should and should not have. There's been some confusion, I suppose, in the minds of the public and in the message as well being sent out about care packages. I've heard the Prime Minister on more than one occasion saying that all who need should get. The question is, how do you determine all in need? There are hotel workers who say they have not worked for over a year, in some cases, less than a year, and that they're in need. There are others, there was a gentleman yesterday who made an impassioned plea saying that you should not decide that because someone lives in Terrace or Crescent that one is not in need. I don't know. I heard Peter, when he was hosting, saying that you call to register and a care package will be delivered to you. There are accusations that people turn up at the same place every day, and some people get a package on a daily basis. Ma'am, it is unfortunate that people have given of their time and their produce to assist with the preparation of care packages. That members of our armed forces, the Defense Force and others, have been brought into the fray to deliver them. And that even in an organized unit where people should follow instructions, there are these stories coming forward. I can't give you an answer that's going to reassure you. And I do not believe that anyone said that you should not take a package to a house because it's a big house. I have no idea what a big house means, but I know what people would say about a big house. That's the truth about how we live and what we are. But let's hope that this, too, will be one of the things that we fix to the benefit and satisfaction of all concerned. I got a message here on the WhatsApp from someone who sent the same message yesterday and said they wanted to get the point across that that 4 weeks equal a month and 12 months equal a year, 52 weeks equal a year, and 4 by 12 is 48. So if you get paid weekly, you get 52 weeks, and if you're paid monthly, you get 48 weeks. And pensioners who change from weekly to monthly will lose. And the person sent the message twice, which means I asked them if they did not hear the response of the NIS yesterday that's printed in today's newspaper. So for the benefit of those who live overseas and may not take the nation online, this is what the National Insurance said. The NIS pays its pensioners every 4 weeks, not monthly. The payments are issued for 13 four-week periods each year for those paid by lodgements to banks and credit unions, or 26 two-week periods for those receiving checks through the mail. The NIS urges its pensioners who already have bank and credit union accounts to make the switch from checks to lodgements and gain immediate access to all your money. There is no penalty for switching. So I read that slowly, so I hope the person in Berlin will hear how the calculations are done. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
Hey, I called to talk about bed bugs, but I just want to say something about the care packages. I'm not involved directly as in giving out the care packages, mm-hmm. but I had something to do with it at first. And I can say to, I don't know why some people would be passed, but I can say to you that if they use the number to call about the care packages, I could guarantee you, Mr. Johnson, that they will get a care package. I don't know why they would be passed. I don't know, can't tell you why. But if they do call the number, every single person the Prime Minister said will get a care package that needed. The bed bugs.
Uh-huh.
I had a problem with bed bugs one time. I was listening to CBC News this morning, and the lady said that a whole lot of beds that were thrown out because of the bed bugs and all of that. I had bed bugs, and I had them really bad. And it cost me almost $6,000 because at first when I had the bed bugs, I burned every single thing in the house. Mm-hmm. And I put back everything in the house afterwards, new ban. And, you know, the bed bugs were still
back
inside the house. So that was, I couldn't afford then to go and burn everything again. Mm-hmm. So what I did, this is what I did. And I just called because I think a lot of people in Barbados have bed bugs, but a lot of them shame to say they have bed bugs. And those...
Do you think they know what they are, though?
Pardon?
Do you think they know what they are? In other words, how to identify that you have a bed bug? How did you find out they had bed bugs?
Well, I had my children sleeping in one bedroom, and when I get up in the mornings, they see my daughter all under her face, scratch up, and then my wife got this kind of funny skin. So as soon as
anything happens,
it starts to smell.
Yeah.
So we did that for almost 6 months, and then one night, I turned on the light, and I saw this thing crawling from the mosquito net coming down. I said, what is this? And then I went, and I squeezed it, and when I squeezed it, a whole lot of blood came out of the middle of the neck. So he used to go up in the neck.
And come down.
So then I searched the whole bed, mm-hmm. and then I looked at the corners of the bed, and I realized that the nest was in the corners of the bed, and then they moved to the drawers, and they moved to the clothes, and they were all over the place. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do then, I went down, I said, I'm going to come up with a plan. I went down and I buy some clear plastic bags. And I told my wife, what we're going to do, we're going to wash every single piece of clothes in the house. Mm-hmm. We're going to put them in the white plastic bags, and we're going to tie the bags. Because if you put them in the bags, Mr. Johnson, and you see, you might be still able to see one crawling on the bag from the inside, from outside. So we put everything in the bags. Then we bought a big hard plastic called polythene. They nearly, usually put that down on construction sites. Instead of burning this bed, now what I did is get some glue and I stuck the plastic together the size of the bed. And I put my bed in a plastic and sealed the bed from the bugs getting inside my bed. Mm-hmm. And we put the sheet on the bed. So what we did for at least a month, Mr. Johnson, we had to live out of plastic bags. And we spray the whole house. But the thing about using these sprays is a ticklish thing. You have to use the spray that the people designate for inside because there are two kinds of sprays. Mm-hmm. There are spray to spray the outside, mm-hmm. and then there's a spray that you use for spraying the inside. Terminex. I think Terminex is an inside spray.
Okay.
And you have to spray the spray on the inside, which will kill the bugs. Mm-hmm. And then you have to spray again because, you know, afterwards the eggs can hatch.
Right.
And then you have to spray.
And then you have to find where the eggs are or where you think they should be. Did they give you any advice on, you know, try to find areas where the eggs may be? Or you just spray the whole house?
Yeah, but I spray the whole house. But I spray where I know the eggs will be. You know where the eggs already, the bugs mainly go?
Right.
They go where people sit so they can bite you in the chair, bite you in the bed, bite you. They settle where they know. You will sit. I don't know if you're attracted to the heat in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you sit in the chair, they come and bite. But they mostly come down at night when you're sleeping, do the damage, and then go back in. So I would advise the people of Barbados, don't burn your bed. Get some white polythene, and seal off your bed with the plastic and stick it. But you have to, all of the, what do you think is the bed sit on now? The bed.
The frame, the bedstead, the frame.
Frame,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. All of the frame, you have to hold up that frame and you got to spray all of corners. That frame. Because you can pray, you can pay thousands of dollars to companies to come and spray all of these things, but the company is not going to spray your clothes.
Yeah.
You have to take care of your clothes where the bed bugs are. Then they hide in your clothes.
Do you know how they got into your house, though? You have any idea how they got into your house?
Yeah, they get into your houses various ways. We take shopping bags. You see these massy shopping bags that people use? Not massy. When they use the word massy,
yeah, I know.
They use
yeah.
it because
yeah.
those
that's
bags,
the one you use. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. We take those bags back to the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
If I have infestation in my house, I can take that bag now to the supermarket.
With it on
and then they're going to shake that out at the counter.
Yeah.
Put my goods in it. Infesting the supermarket. So the person that come probably after you.
Right. If it's not clean and sanitized, that would happen. Okay.
Exactly.
Follow you.
So if
follow
I work in, Mr. Johnson.
Or if you pass and brush me with the bag on your way in.
Yeah. But if I work in at my company and I come into Starcom to do business and I sit down in your chair.
You leave it there.
And my clothes is infested with bed bugs. I offset Starcom.
You leave it there, yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I wanted to
say. Sir, I thank you for sharing those that message with us, because I know there was concern about the Fairchild Street bus stand and various other areas where the concern was raised on this program. It was discussed, but as usual, as something else comes to the fore, up comes another one. Thanks for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Rastax, good morning.